This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, the Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
It is concerning, you know, durability, availability are key ties to our roster. And so we basically look ahead in terms of what he's doing now, which is getting himself the treatment that he needs. And he's working hard at it. And that's all that he can control right now. And, you know, we get him back when we get him back, probably at this point, training camp. So, you know, we're going to do the best job we can. And I know he is as well. And just take it one day at a time.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. The Bills opening up OTAs yesterday. McDermott meeting with the media. Sal Capaccio was on hand. Good morning. It's a beautiful morning again. Yesterday was pretty nice all the way through. And I believe today we're headed for a little bit of rain, but not until a little bit later on.
So here we go again.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Now, have you... Are you like me? I bring up the weather app a lot to look at what's it like a week from now so I can feel better about myself if it's going on like this now?
I will do that only if the weather and the short term is not great.
Right.
Like if I know it's going to rain today and tomorrow,
yeah.
Then yes, then I will let me scroll down a little bit and go, oh, next week it's going to be, oh, look at that, 67 and sunny, 71 and
Have
sunny.
Have you done that recently?
I just did that right now, but not before that, no.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't.
It's looking good.
You had looked?
I have. I mean, yeah. So we should I show? Look at
just give me I, those sun
should
emojis.
Should I show the bullpen? My phone there. There you go, bullpen. You can see it. I don't know if you can see it.
Woo.
Look at that.
We got warm.
See, that's
too.
The advantage of watching on YouTube. You get to look at Sal's cell phone with the weather app and the bullpen. Now, yeah. I will tell you, my buddy Patrick Hammer says, don't use that app. That's the Weather Channel.
I was going to say.
I know. Sorry, Pat. But it's just my default. I go there all the time. Sorry, buddy. But
yes.
I should use. I want to be equal opportunity for all the different friends I have in the business. So I just go there instead of saying I chose 247 or Spectrum or whatever.
Yeah. So Joey Bosa. So McDermott updating everybody on Bosa there. A little bit of newsy update from McDermott that Bosa injured his calf last week and he's not there at OTAs, which, man, Salik, there already is a question and a concern about his availability problems that he had with the Chargers. I mean, it is It is the reason he only gets a one-year contract in free agency. And they're not even on the field for things yet, and there's already something that's popped up.
Yeah.
Now, McDermott said, how did he phrase it? It was for the foreseeable spring that he'll be out?
So basically, yeah. However he phrased it, what he said was the rest of this offseason program. Foreseeable spring, offseason program. So, and part of the reason is because he did say it happened recently, so they are still in an exploratory mode, which gets you a little bit more, oh my gosh, like what else
right.
could it be? But, Joe, you know Sean McDermott well enough by now.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't kind of put a bit of a definitive timeline on it
right.
unless he's really confident about that.
But he also
doesn't do that.
He also did give a little bit of a sign, I guess by the exploratory part of it, and he mentions training camp that
yeah.
there's at least a chance, isn't there, that he's out until, what, the start of training camp?
And I think
like,
that's what
it's not a short-term
You mean
thing.
into training camp. Because
camp it being even a question. Maybe I wonder right. if it's he's on the field
right.
and it's something that they're managing already.
Oh, 100%. I think that's open for sure. The way he made it sound yesterday, what I took of it was he's not there this week. He's not on the field this week, next week, or mandatory minicamp. Once we hit training camp, he should be on the field. But I agree with you that doesn't have to be true. Like, you could get to training camp and they say, hey, we're holding back on him as he gets treatment
sure.
or something.
Or he's on the field mm-hmm. one day and he's not on the field the next
right.
day because they're already...
Yes.
They gotta be careful with the
yes.
guy. If it's already popping up as a problem, you know, you were looking this up in the break. He's missed, like, half the games that he's been eligible for in the last couple of seasons. With the Chargers?
28. He's played 28 of a possible 51 games.
Okay, so that's a little over 50% that he's played.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not great. How do you feel like, because here's one injury that's already popped up for Bosa. How do you feel like the Bills are at the position without him? They have him. He's not out for the year or anything, but if the season begins and it becomes evident that, you know, it almost maybe looks like Curtis Samuel's season last year where he pops in and he has these games where he makes an impact, and Samuel finished strong last year, right? Like, he played well in the playoffs, so he eventually gets there. But a lot of the year it was, yeah, you can't really, he's on the injury report, he's not playing in this game, and you couldn't necessarily count on him down to down, game to game, quarter to quarter. If that becomes Bosa's season, how do you feel like they are at that position to withstand that?
This is a two-part question. It's a different question for the season versus the first 6 weeks because they don't have Michael
sure.
Hoyt.
Right.
And Larry Ogunjobi, even though he's a defensive tackle. But, Joe, I mean, they signed every one of their defensive line free agent signings is out right now in some capacity. Two guys are out for the first 6 weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy is out now, and we don't know what his status is come training camp. That's not good. If you're talking right now, I mean, they're okay. I don't know. They're what they have been, which is, can you get to the quarterback and
right.
cause some disruption? And that's going to be a big question mark. If you're talking for the first 6 weeks of the year, I guess the same thing, but I don't know what Joey Bosa's status is.
That's right. And if Bosa is unavailable to them or they have to really manage it in the first 6 weeks, I guess really what they would be in the first 6 weeks until Michael Hoyt comes back would be the same as last year with Landon Jackson.
And without Von Miller.
And without Von Miller, who we've pointed out, like, a lot of the pressure numbers last year, he was the Bills' most efficient pass rusher, and he's not there. He's still available, by the way. Not to say that they would bring him back.
Right. Right.
But he is still out there.
Yeah.
So it's obviously not good for Bosa because he is – how much weight is on his shoulders for this? I mean, the additions on the defensive line were more in volume. You know, they added a ton. They drafted a lot of it. They signed a lot of it. Bosa's name, though, is at the top of the list. He is – He is the Pro Bowler. He is the high draft pick. He is the name power that the Bills brought in. He got a sizable contract, even, from the Bills.
Over $12 million, $12 million guaranteed.
Right. So maybe like in comparison to his position and his peers, you know, it's kind of a prove it deal. You know, the top edge rushers will get triple that. The top guys in the league. But it's not nothing. And a lot of that money was guaranteed. So his name being at the top of the list and having this injury problem that already is popping up. I mean, I guess I would just say it this way. I'm not as worried about the beginning of the season because a lot of my thinking about the Bills is how are you going to do in January?
Sure. And I think that's fair. And listen, this is a player where...
And we're so far away from January.
What were the comments yesterday after this happened? Obviously, there was the, oh my God, he's always injured.
Right.
And there were quite a few people who, I understand the sentiment, said, who cares, put him in bubble wrap till January.
Right.
Right? Like, does this really matter if this guy doesn't play that much until then? Yes, I think it does matter a little bit. But the point you're making is right, which is you kind of signed him to be available in January. And you know that he's had an injury history. Manage as much as you can. So does this change much of that thinking? I don't know if it does. The only way it really would change it, honestly, is if he does have some sort of issue at training camp. And it does bleed into the season. Otherwise, okay, well, he's a veteran, and we're going to load manage him anyway.
803-0550 is the phone number.
You brought up Von Miller.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, before I forget. There is another guy out there the Bills had last year that's still unsigned, and because it made me think of it.
Who else is out there that's unsigned? I don't know.
There's several, but Dwan Smoot.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
So
I forget he was on the team.
No, because I'm looking at last year's group. And I'm like, you know, if you needed to get a guy who knows your system and come in, you just mentioned how Von Miller's still a free agent and all that. I'm thinking, okay, there are other guys. I mean, heck, it's the yearly, are they going to sign Shaq Lawson? That didn't happen last year, but you know, you have those kinds of things. But Dwan Smoot's still out there. There are guys who, if they get into a pinch, they could turn to help. It's not necessarily the numbers of a Joey Bosa pass rusher. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to start thinking like that at some point, maybe.
803-0550 is the phone number on Bosa's injury. We'll get back to James Cook coming up in the 7 o'clock hour on what your gut feeling is for what will happen. And we'll start to get into what we think he should be worth. He wants $15 million. The Bills have their own price point that we don't know at this point, but it's not $15 million. What really should Cook get in a new contract? We'll get to that as well. A lot to get to. There's some really cool NBA rule proposals that I want to get to that our buddy Nick Wright had yesterday that I actually think are awesome rule proposals the NBA should absolutely adopt. Because if you're watching these playoffs, there's a couple of frustrating end of game rule stuff that you could very easily see changed. Stay tuned. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Time now for Worst Call Wednesday, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center.
The Bills, I don't f*** with the Bills. Bro, when I used to play in Kansas City, bro, it was always f*** the Bills every time we played against them. And we f*** them up every time.
Damn.
But in Miami, it's the same thing too, though, but like 10 times harder. It's f*** the Bills all day. All they want to do is jump through f***ing tables because they got f***ing CTE.
All right, we're going to make that Worst Call Wednesday, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. It's the worst call that I've heard of the week. The worst call you can make is to skip your recommended cancer screenings. Learn more about potentially life-saving screening recommendations and guidelines. Visit roswellpark.org/screening. That is Tyreek Hill. Basically saying, bleep Bills Mafia.
Mm-hmm.
Jumping through tables. He has said things about the Bills and their fans in the past. Should he not be seen as like... Well, I don't know. Where does he rank on the villain scale for Buffalo sports, Tyreek Hill? He's been on the Chiefs. He has a huge play against the Bills in the playoffs. Then he was on the Dolphins. So, like, the teams he's been on work for this. I mean, if I called him a questionable human being, I feel like I am being as kind as humanly possible for the incidents that he has been involved in, which stem back to before he was even in the NFL, where he pleaded guilty to choking his pregnant girlfriend. This is the type of human that we're talking about in the second place, not on the field. So where does he rank on the villain scale? Shouldn't he be like a top-level villain?
Oh, I think he should be now, for sure. If he already wasn't, I think in a lot of ways, because, yes, in Kansas City, he had big wins over the Bills. Over the last several years, the Bills have beaten them pretty well, the Dolphins, and he has not done much.
That's the thing. He just says, like, oh, it's been the same thing in Miami. It has not been the same thing in Miami. And not only have they not beat the Bills, but we've pointed out that his stats against the Bills stink.
Because when I hear
since he was in Kansas City.
When I think about villains of sports teams, I think about people you weren't able to necessarily beat, but also there's got to be a component of hatred that goes along with it. I never got that sense really from Tyreek up until maybe now. I mean, yes, there's been a little bit of that over the years, but this was not Brian Cox level until probably today and hearing this.
No. He should be booed relentlessly at every single Bills game.
Let's not forget, he doesn't necessarily want to be in Miami either. On one of those streaming things as well, he was seen when the report came down that he was getting traded from the Dolphins, and it was like a fake report. He was excited. Like, the guy was like, hey, man, I just saw you're getting traded. And he was like, oh, let's go.
Did he really?
Yeah.
While I was looking for that clip,
I found that clip on a different stream with someone else.
Yeah, let's see if we can find that clip.
I mean, I don't know what...
That's almost more interesting to me than even this nonsense that he's talking about the Bills and their fans. If we've got him on record being told he's being traded out of Miami and being pumped up about it, that wouldn't be that surprising, though. He sounded, after Week 18, like he was done with the Dolphins. And then they kind of went back on
this guy named Aiden Ross is apparently the where streamer. The streamer came from. I want to give this credit for where we got this from, okay? Apparently, he's a pretty well-known streamer in some capacity. I apologize not knowing exactly where his platforms are. But that said, he also, I'm looking at a couple of his tweets here, okay? Here's one. Tyreek Hill just called Travis Hunter trash, saying he won't do good in the NFL. That's what it says here on this tweet and a stream clip.
All right, so he's just taking out everybody.
He's doing the Jalen Ramsey thing. Remember Jalen Ramsey just went through like all these people and called Josh Allen trash and, you know, remember that years ago?
Yes. But do you remember about that? We all remember he called Josh Allen trash. Do you remember the Jalen Ramsey said something about like all 30 quarterbacks?
Yeah.
In that it, something that like was that, a, yeah. That was one of he took out like everybody but three quarterbacks in one, you know, one go of it. We got more Hill sound in a second here. Hill, though, looking back, so he's lost to the Bills five times in a row here. He wants to take shots, let's take shots back. He lost five in a row, and he has never had, in nine games against the Bills in the regular season, he has never had 100 receiving yards. 80 yards last year, 24, 82, 58, 69, 33, 63, 20. He's got one massive playoff game, which is, of course, the giant play in the 13-second game, which is not to be forgotten. Got shut down in the Miami playoff game with Skylar Thompson. So, like, he's not really almost ever crushed the Bills, except that one time that we remember. Okay, what else did he have to say? So this is him.
Here's another one.
This is him getting.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Thinking he's getting traded. Okay, go ahead.
They're saying you got traded.
For cursing, I want an iPhone.
Oh,
let's go.
You're lying.
What the hell,
dude?
So let's go is Tyreek Hill. Okay. All right.
On video, you can see him like pick up his phone and go, "Let's go," and he starts looking at his phone like he's about to like text people.
All right.
He also said. And some people may actually agree a little bit more with this. Tyreek Hill just dissed all NFL kickers saying they don't do anything. After Aiden Ross asked him why they sell his parlays. So I don't know what that part means, but yeah.
So he took out Bills fans.
Yep.
Travis Hunter.
Kickers.
All kickers.
Yes.
Is this just a way for him to stay relevant?
Like, I know that he was on stuff? This guy's show and they did all this stuff, including, by the way, how about this? Says he... Oh, yeah. Apparently, Tyreek challenged these two guys to streak at an NFL game. I'm reading this guy's tweets. He has all these clips. And this one says, Aiden Ross just bet $40,000 on iShow Speed to beat Tyreek Hill in a race after pressing Tyreek for being scared to race speed. Oh, okay. I thought they were talking about speed race. Like, I thought they were talking in a car, but I think it means like running. I don't even know. This is wild. I'm just seeing all this stuff now.
Yep. Tyreek Hill. He's probably nearing the end. He did not look the same last year. And if he moves on from Miami at some point in time, he is 31 years old. So we'll see how he ages. But not getting to 1,000 yards last year in 17 games.
He was on something recently where he said he's going to get 2,000 this year.
Sure, dude. I mean, he needs to more than double what he did last year. And listen,
who's going to throw him the ball?
You can say this makes him even more of a villain, and that's fine and good. You know, that will happen, I'm sure. For me, I have never needed more for him to be a villain than he has been investigated, sued, allegedly, you know, smashed a cigar in his wife's face during an argument. You can find details on him doing something every single year that make him come off as a grotesque human being. So that's all I need for it.
The biggest thing here is how we started, in case you haven't seen it. So Tyreek Hill was on this streamer, his podcast, his streaming platform, Aiden Hill. Tyreek Hill was on Aiden Ross. And in case you haven't seen it, we just played the clip a little while ago. Tyreek Hill had a bunch of really not nice things to say about Bills fans and said, called them stupid and they only jump through tables because they have CTE.
Yeah, that's what he said at the end of that clip.
Yep.
Yep.
That's what he said.
All right.
Go find it if you want.
803-0550 is the phone number. James Cook's on the table for you. When we come back, Nick Wright actually had a good take yesterday. He has some once in a while. If you listen to his podcast, I don't almost ever. I see clips of it. But his podcast that he does, you get a very different Nick Wright there than you get on the TV show. And yesterday on that podcast, he had two NBA rule changes that I need to happen immediately that'll make the playoffs and all these games so much better. That when we come back here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Do you want to say that last thing or do you want me to? I was thinking it too. Simultaneously.
McDermott there in the sports update. Referring to his communication with Cook, we're communicating like you would expect a player and a coach to be communicating during the off season. And each time I've heard that today, I've had the same thought, which is, I don't think I have an expectation of that, or I've not thought about an expectation there. My inclination is mostly that I would think that there would be almost none. Unless a guy's getting, like, his significant other's having a baby, or they're getting he's getting married, something like that. Otherwise,
a life event.
Yeah, a life event. Otherwise, sure. it's just it's the off season.
Right. Does he have like a list of players he calls every day?
Right. Right.
Sort of like 5 a day, 10 a day. Right. Hey, is it literally a call?
Check in. How are things going, buddy? We're counting on you. I don't know.
This could be maybe, a text.
Maybe.
In touch.
Yeah, a text. Yes. Yes. I'm not assuming a conversation, you know, on the phone, but
I think the right follow-up question today would have been then, did you know he wasn't going to be here? Right? Because
right.
they're in touch and would Cook have misled him? But Sal's like, it's not surprising
right.
that he's not here. So McDermott probably knew if they're communicating.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm in a certain place on this, and I'm going to lay it out hoping that it doesn't come out as contradictory, you know, with itself. Like, I think – so Cook's number through Twitter has been $15 million a year. That's big. For a running back, I mean, there are bigger contracts for running backs, but like that's kind of elite level for a player at his position. Publicly, that's where he's been. The Bills are not going to pay him that, or they haven't yet, at least. It would be pretty incredible if they did. If they did that, then it's like, why didn't you just do that already? Like, what was all this for? Whatever all this is. So they would have a lower number. His number this year is 5.3. million. Earlier, I used 10 million. I'm thinking about Mike Jannetty from SpotTrack, who was on with us a couple of months ago and thought Cook might be in position for a contract that pays him $10 million a year. It's not that close to 15, so it would, in my mind, work from when Brandon Bean said, we're just not, in so many words, we're not close enough now to dig in on this. It'll wait until after the draft at least. So 10 for me could be where the Bills are. If they're much higher, maybe there's a deal by now.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're they could be lower, but much lower isn't much more than he's making.
Right.
So 10, I think, really works. 3 years, 30 million, whatever the guarantees are, these different things. That's my guess as to what it is. And so, okay, well, Cook has been, he's absent. He hasn't been exactly quiet on the subject. It's not like he's doing a tour, but he's, you know how he's feeling.
He's made his feelings known, I think. Yes. I want to trust that that's where he is.
So he wants $15 million. I'm guessing the Bills would come in at 10. Maybe you'd say a little lower.
No, 10. I don't know. 10, when you were talking this out 2 hours ago to start the show, $10 million was exactly the number that popped into my head.
And at this point,
it's
end
nice
of May.
Round number.
Nice round number. Reminds me of Eichel. Why wouldn't it just be 8 for 80? And it was. It ended up being 8 for 80. So this one sort of like fits all around. He wants more. It's still May. He's not here. Works. Makes sense. I doubt, unless the Bills go up from there by 2 weeks from now, when it's mandatory, he comes back for that. It's still only a few days. There are fines that can get adjusted. We learned that earlier in the offseason on a rookie contract.
Right. Not everyone is eligible for that, but he is.
Okay. So I think
they have the fines forgiven in case it wasn't clearly spelled out. Okay, go ahead.
Unless the Bills go up from 10, which I'm saying is my guess at their number, he's not here in 2 weeks either because it really wouldn't have been worth it.
Like it's the first mandatory thing you're skipping. Like if you want to be in any way, shape, or form perceived as taking a stand,
right?
Skipping the voluntary stuff and showing up when it's going to cost you, you know, a couple of nickels is not the look I think you want.
Okay, so now I'm to Father's Day. Now I'm past mini camp. I'm to vacation between mini camp and training camp. I'm to vacation, and he's not in yet, and there's no news of any progress or anything like that. There's no change. Sal was talking to us, and he's like, I think the Bills are pretty dug in. I think they could justify that. I think they could justify offering James Cook less than $10 million a year. The whole discourse about running backs has been about that. I think they could be there. But here's finally the point. I doubt they would mess with the equilibrium of their team over a couple of million dollars in James Cook. I doubt they would do that. If they're offering him 10 and they're doing it with gritted teeth because they think it's a terrible idea, maybe. I doubt it's this, but maybe the Bills already are at a point where they think their offer is unreasonable, but they're still making it. because that's just how we have to do this, mm-hmm. and he's still a no, then you might be in some tough territory. But I doubt they would let this get away without capitulating at least some or a little bit more than they have. And then, you know, in any negotiation at that point, you would hope for the other party, Cook, to be like, okay, that's fair, let's go. It wasn't 15, but I got 12. I got 11, whatever it is. I did better mm-hmm. than I was going to do back in April, and I overall did pretty well here. And I'm cashing in on 16 rushing touchdowns because next year I'm going to have six.
There's nothing here that's contradictory, and I like the thinking because it basically, I don't know that you've exactly said it directly like this, but the idea is that the Bills, in a negotiation that they would have anticipated to be maybe arduous, that was going to push them into maybe an uncomfortable position, uncomfortable financial position, that they're holding a little back for the summer.
Yep.
So that once he skips mandatory minicamp and they want to sit down, they can, you know, with a peace of mind, not with a gun to their heads, but like having thought it through, all right, we're going to have this. This is our position, and this is our, I'm walking off the lot, right? This is where I'll go if in an effort to make peace ultimately. Because whatever scenario ends up happening, like my most talked about it, my what I think I would predict is going to happen is that they don't get anything done. He skips minicamp, shows up at camp, is holding in for a while, eventually just push is going to come to shove. The extension's not coming. I've got a decision to make about the year. I'm playing, and that's it. All right? That's not a peaceful situation necessarily. The player, of course, has the most to say about how noisy it will get or be. And maybe he just puts his head down and does his job and knows I'm at the end here and I'm going to get paid somewhere else. God willing, I stay healthy. There's all kinds of concerns that come with that, but sure. It's still not optimal from the Bills' standpoint. They know they've got a guy that, if he's not disgruntled, is at least gruntled. Maybe the team is bothered to some extent because their guy's not getting taken care of, and they feel bad because they got theirs and he's not getting his, and like that sucks for everybody, you know, in some way, shape, or form. So you'd want to alleviate that if you can, but it has to be within a construct that you can live with. I cannot foresee a scenario where the Bills would go to a place where it would hurt, where like they would really say, like, I didn't want to do this, but we felt like we had to. It at the end, it is still a running back. And I think that will still prevail for them. That's not to say that they wouldn't have some wiggle room, but frankly, I hope $10 million is their ceiling. This is not personal about James Cook. I don't know James Cook. I've admired his play. I think he's been a very important player
for
them.
He's fine.
But you're right. But he's still a running back who plays, you know, whatever, 40-some percent of the snaps and is not someone that you should pay thinking you're going to feed him 70% of the snaps. He's not that guy. He's not built like that. Easy for me to say. I've never seen him tested like that. He didn't play like that in college, and he's not played like that here. So to suddenly pay him and then say, I'm going to turn him into a workhorse would be misguided, maybe at best. It could be a disaster at worst. So where do you end up? I don't want to pay the top of the market rate for a guy that is he's a part of a rotation.
Yeah, I guess. I guess what's contradictory to me is, as somebody, philosophically, that feels that way about running backs too, and have for many years, I still kind of doubt the Bills would hold a hard line mm-hmm. there. I doubt he gets $15 million, but I bet he does great with them, because there's too much, in terms of image, if not also on the field, there's too much at stake. And the cap is a joke, right? I mean, the cap is a joke. It's not real. But, I mean, the Bills have written their share of, I think, bad contracts. like Knox and maybe Vaughn? Like there are contracts that like, oh my God, are they just in a mood here? Like what is this? Maybe every team has. You could maybe find that on every team. I mean, the Bills are not frugal at all. And so I think they'll end up at a point where they'll pay him and he'll look like he did great. And the Bills will go, okay, we didn't lose per se. But what we did is we found a little bit more money in our budget to avoid any sort of discord, any sort of loggerheads with this player, with their starting running back on a team that won 15 games. Like, and he scored 20 touchdowns or whatever it was in the end with the playoffs. It would surprise me. This is where you and I are different.
Yeah.
We're not going to maybe know this answer, or at least for a while. But it just hasn't been their way. Why does everything sort of get done so smoothly? Because they'll give you the money. You know, like mostly they just haven't, you know, it's obviously broad brush, but they haven't been in these predicaments. And that's the easiest way to avoid them is to say yes. Like some of these deals, who was the one where I said it this way all the time? Like, what was this negotiation? The player asked for this, and like Knox would be an example. The player asked for this, and the Bills went, okay. I mean, no offense, but sometimes that's how these kind of things read. And so that is where I think...
Yeah, you let the player fill in the number, basically.
Yeah, blank check.
It was a Sabres thing that I remember you getting like that about. I don't remember the player specifically.
Skinner or somebody, like...
It was just like, okay, how hard was that?
Right, it was a Sabre.
Yeah.
I had one of those where I just was always saying the same thing, which was like, what was the negotiation like here? Was there one?
Right.
The player asked for X and got it.
Yeah. Well, I myself, you're saying that the contradiction potentially is how you feel fundamentally about running backs,
yes.
which is how I feel.
And about Cook himself.
Right. And yet you think they'll find, I don't think that's contradictory. It's two different things. Like how we feel, or you feel, or I feel about a situation that they have on their hands and what they're going to do, their motivation to alleviate it. We all want the same thing. We want the best guys on the team, right? But they have knowledge of what it could do to their whole thing here. That's where the stakes come in, which you mentioned here. I mean, the stakes are extremely high. They're trying to win the first championship in the history of the city, and obviously the franchise. So and they're a team that's favored to be able to do it. It's not like there's some dark horse or something. It's like the stakes are plain. Everyone knows them. So harmonious is where you want to be as best you can with, you know, a pro sports enterprise. And they control a large extent of that. I mean, they can't control what James Cook wants, but they can control how far they're willing to go to get him to a place where things would be considered harmonious. And if they aren't willing to extend to somewhere that might be even uncomfortable, then you've got a real dilemma on your hands. Like, to me, it's not worth being of the opinion that running backs shouldn't be paid this top dollar because they're so replaceable. If the first time you're faced with the opportunity or the challenge of having to pay one, you just go, okay, we'll just pay you. And again, easy for me to say from out here. All right, well, I'm not the one building the team and doing all, but I would be surprised if they got anywhere near. I just don't anticipate them getting to a contract settlement with him. Is all I'm prepared to say. I just don't think they're going to do it.
And in that case, what happens?
I think he probably begrudgingly shows up and plays.
Yeah, and
then we argue about whether we can tell the difference.
Whether he's motivated.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and just like the Bills, it comes down to their, you wake up in the morning, did he say yes? Is he here? No, okay. And you wake up the next morning, did he say yes? Is he here? Like it plays out, but I just can't, I said already, I can't imagine the Bills risk that, because that takes on a life of its own. I mean, anybody anymore in sports, it was not always like this. on the last year of their contract, that's a topic. Anybody in sports now, a coach, a player,
yep.
It's not when he's up. It's the year before. And, all right, what are you going to do about it? And, you know, in the Bills' case, they have done a lot about guys this offseason, Bernard and others who were 1 year away.
They did. They got it done with everyone except Cook.
Yeah. So I just wouldn't think the Bills would take that chance that everybody is talking about this all the time and, you know, it's the Ray Davis show if Cook just calls their bluff. That's what it's all about. You know, just who calls whose bluff, I guess. 803-0550 is the number. I don't think, if it does play out that way, that it really matters a lot in terms of on the field. I think of it more as off the field. And, you know, maybe Bean will have another round of getting annoyed at the radio station talking about a thing he doesn't think matters that much. It's happened before. You know, so what if it does, right? Somebody could be thinking that. So what if any of this happens? What's the worst case scenario?
I mean, teams go through it all the time. This group with Bean and McDermott in charge have not really had, you know, they've not been in, you know, on this bus at all, really. It's been a very smooth ride for going to year nine now, right? McDermott was 8 years last year,
for him,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. So to have not really experienced any of that, it seems like it will be maybe a bigger deal out here than it ultimately will be. That's why I'm saying he didn't show up for minicamp. I'm expecting him not to show up for minicamp. I would expect that they're expecting him not to show up for minicamp. And so whatever drama there's going to be, the football players will do the things that they do, and they will go on about their business, and eventually James Cook, I think, will show up. And that'll be that. So I'm not sure you're using the word risk a few times in laying all that out. Risk might be a little, it feels more like an inconvenience than a risk to me. I think, sure, it could go sideways. He could try to, you know, skip games and really, you know, be a problem. I just don't think that happens that often anymore. And now, often, that being said, that's because the team capitulates in some way because they want harmony. They want, you know, everything to be lined up so that there's no thing that we can point at and go, well, you didn't do this, and look at what happened.
That will happen here. I'm very confident that will happen here. I don't know the current number, but it'll be because Cook is just going to show up on his current contract and get asked about it all and be like, oh, whoops, didn't work. Oh, well, let's go win a Super Bowl. I think there will be a compromise, and the Bills will look like they've spent a lot of money on that position. They will anyway. It'll look like that anyway. If Cook walks in with whatever their current offer would be, it can look like that anyway.
Yep.
But for a little bit more, everybody wins. That's what happens. They could use my strategy when I go buy a car. I guess I'm Cook then, right? I'm not the organization. I'm the customer.
Right.
I'm the employee, or in Cook's case, I'm the customer. And I know, like, buying a car isn't everybody's favorite thing to do. You feel like, you know, you just don't know anything, and the dealership knows everything, and they're just sort of going to rough you up. You know, just not referring to any particular place.
They're going to make you feel like they're doing something really special for you when, in fact, they're probably almost definitely not.
You know what? Right now, I want to do this for you, but I got to talk to Ron. I got to go talk to Ron.
Right. I'm going to go talk to the other guy. Yeah.
And I say, every time I say this, my father's going to ask me how this went. Just don't embarrass me in front of him. Tell me I got something out of you. Like, just, you can make it up. I don't know. Talk to Ron. Don't talk to Ron. Give me something.
Throw in the undercoating.
I can say,
you get the undercoating. Give me the undercoating.
Give me a hood ornament. Let me be able to tell my father that we had this process, and, you know, I pushed a little bit. Dad, I did. I pushed a little bit, and I got this out of him. And I was content with that. It wasn't, I didn't pay sticker, right? I'm not paying sticker. Right. Just get, don't make me look bad in front of my father. That's all I want.
How's that usually go for you?
Great. No, it works every time. I don't know what I'm getting. I can't tell you what I would be paying or what I'm paying instead. I don't know.
You sound like you really drive a hard bargain.
I know. I can at least say to my I didn't just say yes right away. We did this process here, and I got this out of them. Whatever it is, a little bit of a break, but Cook is me. Just don't make me look bad in front of my brother. My brother was a pretty public example, wanting to get paid as a running back for years. I'm doing it now. Don't make me look bad.
He's even helping me do it. To some extent.
Yeah. You know. Just don't make me look bad here. That's all. If he comes down with $11 million a year, he looks great. And it's more than the Bills want to pay him, but how much more does it really matter that much? He's on the field for you. You're not questioning his effort ever. All of that. You get all of that in the deal. You get that's the package, that's the interior, that's the leather seats, that's everything. That's what I'm getting.
I can't wait for a scenario where that happens, which is a lot to assume, and I'm not assuming it, but where you are, okay, they make that happen, and he goes from 16 touchdowns to 6.
Which he will, almost for sure.
It's going to be great.
He will not score 16 touchdowns again in his career. I did say that about Allen every year for a long time, and that has never gone away. But Cook is not Allen.
No.
You score 2 1 year, then you score 16. Everybody will predict that number comes way down, except maybe, you know, some fans, but I certainly will. 803-0550 if you have a thought on this. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
All right, back here on One Bills Live, Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, and joining us in studio, as mentioned, one Tre'Davious White, as he is here for stint number 2 in Buffalo. I'm sure your phone blew up when that first happened, because there is a special affinity in Bills fans' hearts for one Tre'Davious White. I'm sure you felt that right off the jump when everything went down, right?
Oh, for sure. I knew immediately once the news broke that pretty much, you know, my phone was going to go crazy with family members, friends, old teammates. Just the love that I got over the first few days, it was just something that, you know, that I'll never forget. Obviously, it was something that I wanted. I wanted to come back here, you know, in the back end of my career and do it with people that I really legitimately care about and have genuine relationships with as friends off the field. So,
famously, you get back in and the quarterback didn't know they'd re-sign you, so he sees you strutting through the locker room. He's like, how does that happen?
He's been a little off the grid.
Listen, you got to tip your hat to Josh for, disconnecting. Because you got to be completely off the radar not to know the Bills signed Tre'Davious back.
Oh, it was good. But look, so he saw me in the locker room. He's like, how you doing? It's just he was just so surprised. So Jeff told me that he came over to him. He's like, did we really sign Trey back? Yeah, Jeff's like, yeah, you're a Sim right here. So I saw him and brotherly hug.
Oh, yeah.
Missed him a lot, you know what I mean? Just being on the other side, obviously. Just seeing the success that he had last year, being an MVP.
Sure.
Yeah, man. I mean, I saw the big hug you guys shared on the field before the playoff game last year. Pre-game, you're coming out here with the Ravens, and, it's just – you could just – you know when you see hugs and they look like the, for lack of a better term, half-ass hug, I'm just doing this to be nice. That was not that. That was, genuine love. You could just – see it. You know what I mean? That's – I think that's part of the reason you wanted to be back here, right? Because that exists here in plentiful supply.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I'm not the first person the first player that says this. And not going to be the last. This is a special place, man. And obviously, you want to play, like I said before a few weeks ago, my goal was to always play under one team and do it at a high level. But that plan didn't go as I wanted to go. Out of my control because of injuries, but I got a chance to rewrite it, and I'm gonna do it the right way this way around.
And you know, because I played on a couple different teams as well, but there are a lot of guys in L.A., Baltimore that you got a lot of love and respect for, and so kind of compare and contrast. There's good organizations all around the league, not all of them, but there's a handful, right? More than a handful, and you got a chance to play for some pretty respected organizations. In L.A. and, of course, in Baltimore, who has been competitive ever since Harbaugh got there, right? Give us a little compare and contrast about what players say about Buffalo away from Buffalo, and some of the stuff you can share with us about what it's like to go away, have some success, go to another team, be in a playoff atmosphere, and, you know, then make it back here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be completely honest. Everything was so foreign to me, just, right, you know, leaving this place, because I'm such a routine-based guy. Yeah, so it's like, I have all my people in place. I have my chiropractor. I have my massage therapy. I have, you know, my trainers, just everything at my disposal that I've created over the first 7 years of my career. Like, those are things that if I'm not, I get bad anxiety when that schedule is not on this track
it's not set.
So once I go to a new place, I got to figure out all this out. I got to find new people. Find new people I trust, because I'm very particular about that. Mm-hmm. So you got to find people you trust. And then it just, I could never get in the group. Then I was rehabbing, trying to get, learning a new defense, going into a defensive system. Well, I'm talking about LA. Going into a system where it's like, it's the DC's first shot at being a DC. He's trying to find the calls. He's trying to find what works for the group. And then it's a young defense. And then I'm coming off this injury. I can't give them what they need me to give them, because I'm trying to find myself and get myself back too. So that LA experience, as far as like on the field, it wasn't the time, because I feel like I just couldn't give that group. Yeah. It was a young group. I couldn't give them that veteran presence that I needed, because I was so busy rehabbing, worrying about myself, and not going out there and getting as many reps as I could, because I'm just trying to rehab this thing, trying to manage it, mm-hmm, push it a little bit, but still manage it. So that wasn't, but as far as off the field, just like around the building, just the people there, everything was great. The experience, everything was great. I was able to, you know, go to a different organization, see how they run things, and just see different players, go into a different locker room and see just like how other people, the dynamic on a day-to-day basis, how the players interact with each other and stuff like that. And then getting to Baltimore, it was just more of the same. Like, it's just like it's a real strict environment in Baltimore. Like, they practice really hard. Like, Harbaugh is really, it's like, it's going to be this one way, and we're going to do it, and we're going to do it this every day, and it's going, we're going to hammer it, and we're going to practice at it. And, you know, it gave me an appreciation for just like the process, because I've learned, like, okay, this team does it this way, this team does it this way, and the Bills did it this way, but it's more than one way to skin a cat, because obviously LA doing it right. They've been in two Super Bowls and won one, and Baltimore has always been competitive. Mm-hmm. In Buffalo, we've come along over the years, so now we here too, so it's different ways, but I was just so used to the way that we did it here that it was hard for me to get that out of my head.
To reprogram.
It was so hard.
That's also where your comparison comes from. If you knew how successful you were personally here in Buffalo, mm-hmm, you think, okay, how does it compare? Both L.A. and Baltimore, this was your first comparison.
Yeah. So, and you know, obviously it was great for me, because a lot of guys that I respected over the time of me playing in this league, playing against in college, I was able to go in the locker room with them and see how they do the things on a day-to-day basis. Other great players, Matthew Stafford, mm-hmm, Cooper Kupp, we can go Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, Marlon Humphreys, Derrick Henry, like, you, Zay Flowers, you could just keep going, Kyle Van Noy, like, Roquan Smith, like, it's just so many great players. So it was just like, I was able to just go and observe and see, like, okay, this guy, like, this, if you want to do it, the be great at this, like, you see Roquan Smith, he knows everything about the whole offense. He's calling out plays on the field. So it's just like, I'm seeing, like, greatness. And it's just like, okay, what can I do? Take a little bit from this guy, even though I've been in the league a long time and I have but I can never stop learning.
So last one for you here, because Brandon Bean mentioned this, so did Coach McDermott. They, you know, just based on watching your tape towards the end of last season, they felt that you kind of cleared that rehab hurdle. So, mm-hmm, and a lot of times it takes guys like a full year to kind of get back into the groove, like you were just, mm-hmm, talking about. Like, it was hard for you to find that, mm-hmm, groove where you were just playing and only worrying about playing. Mm-hmm. So do you feel that that hurdle was cleared? Like, do you feel coming into this, you know, spring and training camp and preseason that you're in a place where you're just focused on playing? You're not worried so much about managing all the things that were part of your rehab plan?
Oh, for sure. I was telling this to Taryn, a couple of my teammates. You know, Taryn and Dane and I, we talk right. a lot. Like, we really talk. So this is the first off season that I have where I'm not worried about rehabbing my knee, my Achilles. Like, this is the first time in maybe since 24 years.
Yeah.
Well, I could just focus on my body and not focus on one thing. And it's just taking me away from getting reps with my teammates. Just going out there doing the walkthroughs. I'm not in the training room, just on the table, just getting rubbed on and just doing stuff for this one particular part. I can work on the whole thing. So now I know what a full off season looks like for me. I know when I put the work in, I'm able to do the things that I want to do as far as like my off season program, going back to the basics.
Yeah,
I'm able to do that now. Feel good. It's going to be a great year.
That's awesome. Hopefully it'll be a less chaotic year than you experienced last year, because you're bumping around from L.A. to Baltimore.
Yeah.
And you're back home and spread your wings, man. It'd be great to see you out there.
Oh, it's going to be great. Just me getting back, just walking through those doors, man, like my appreciation level is on another level. Just seeing familiar faces and people that embrace me as much as I embrace them when I see them is just something that that I don't take lightly. No,
the
man,
feeling is mutual. It's great to have you back. We are unfortunately out of time. We can talk to you all afternoon, but we do have to take a break here. So Trey, thanks for stopping by.
We'll
keeping a close eye out there on the field. Good luck to you in terms of putting it all together. That's Tre'Davious White joining us here on One Bills Live. We'll take a break. Be back with our final segment next. Stay tuned.
I was at a point with Chairgate that I would routinely go in there and think about stacking them. That's the one the one move I never brought myself to make, was to lift a chair up and put it on top of another chair or the table.
That's hard with the wheels. It was
more than I was willing to
do. I don't. You might be able to flip them like you would like in a dining room or the seats on one another, but even that, the backs are too tall. I don't think there's a way to stack those chairs.
Well, I think it probably would have been possible, but I think my instinct was, this is too much.
Yeah.
Because if you go into a conference room and the chairs are kind of turned around in different ways, nobody would necessarily be suspicious of anything. You just had a meeting and you got up and you turned your chair and you left.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not everybody tucks their chair back in, right? Although I'm somebody who does that.
Talks the chair back
in? Yeah, I put it back.
Me too.
So, but not everybody would do that. So you walk in there, unless you're you. That story was, you'd been in there an hour earlier, and it was like a Friday.
And it was, everything was perfect.
Everything was perfect, and then an hour later, everything was moved around, and nobody was here. So you were kind of spooked by that, as you say in that clip.
Yeah.
But that's the one thing, that was next. If I ever was sort of frustrated that nothing was coming from this.
Like, if I didn't go down there that day and say something to you afterward.
Yeah, maybe.
Then you would have had to kick it up another notch.
I would have turned them, put them on the floor, turned them over.
Chairs on the table.
Maybe. Chairs on the table.
That could work.
Yeah. That we didn't get to that point.
Well, it's a good thing you did it when you did, because I'm done. The whole episode is over. There's finality and closure, because I'm not fixing the chairs. I'm not putting the same ones on the same side of the table anymore. Clearly, people who are in there prefer a certain chair to a different kind of chair. That's been made evident by my rearranging them and then finding the. All right, you know what? I'm done. No more. I don't need it to be symmetrical. It's not that big a deal. I feel like this is progress for me.
Part of it was dark.
I'm growing. Well, right.
You would go in there, it would be dark out.
I am not saying I will not make sure the chairs are not askew enough that I will trip on them in the dark when November comes.
Then you're going to want to move them back.
But I'm not going to be worried about, that one belongs on the other side of the table. Oh, my God, I sound like such a crazy person.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well,
a little bit.
I am. I am a crazy
person. A little bit anal on that one.
Yeah, I'm a little nutty.
You see the quote from the flag football guy who says, leave the Olympics to us?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
I don't know his name. That guy has no chance of winning that one.
I flagged it. I might be able to find his name if we really want it. That's not.
I respect him.
I
respect him for taking the saying something. He's got to know he's going to get clobbered. Nobody knows who you are. Everyone knows who these other guys are that, you know, the NFL guys that we're presuming will want to participate in this or will be chosen even to participate in it. But I appreciate, like, I've been in the streets. You know, I've put, I don't know how many years into it. I did not Google this guy's life, but 5 years, 10 years, like I've been paying the dues. And now here come the Olympics. We've all been talking about this for years. And you're going to tell me what now? What's happening now?
If the NFL did not sign off, the flag football would not be in the Olympics.
Right. That's probably
NFL
right.
Players being there is the point. Sorry, sir.
It's what the Olympics want.
Yeah. That's what it's about. It's got to be what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hadn't thought really about that again since the story came out that it was going to happen, just except for seeing that one quote. But I know it was kind of fun. People were having fun imagining, like, drawing up rosters and things. And I think I will get there. We're still a couple of years away. I don't know when the team gets chosen. The Olympics, that Olympics is in 28, right?
Yes.
Last year we had Paris. That seems pretty recent. Not even a year ago.
Yeah, 28.
So that'd be 28.
Yeah.
Got a little bit of time. Deontay Johnson not at Browns practices this week.
Uh-oh. Is he on a boat with Diggs?
He might wish he was. If you watch the video, I bet a lot of people are kind of jealous. They might have enjoyed being on that boat. I don't know why. Deontay Johnson, though, there's another guy making a first impression.
Yeah, with a horrible reputation already, and so you don't show up, and all you do is further entrench people's questioning of you and you're the reputation that preceded you to begin with. You're like a self-fulfilling prophecy is what you are. You are perceived to be a problem. That's why, even despite all this talent, nobody seems to really want to keep you for very long. And here, okay, hey, you know, we'll throw you a lifeboat. One last chance. Come on in. Ah, you know,
I'll get there when I get there.
I got a thing. I got stuff. I got stuff I'd rather be doing than practicing the football in May.
Do you think so? James Cook, right? There's been enough speculation about, like, what happens? What if he doesn't show up for training camp, even? Like, how would players perceive that? It would depend on the player. Some guys it would be more controversial about. I mean, but it's usually bigger names that do that when it happens. Or it could be rookies. There'd be a judgment based on that if it's a rookie. But the rookies sign automatically nowadays. Like, that isn't a thing anymore. But the voluntary stuff.
Well, there is a little question about second-round picks now this year, because a couple, including a Browns guy, have gotten entirely guaranteed contracts. And
yes,
the thought is the only two of the 30... Two, if there were exactly 32, maybe there was not, they're not compensatory yet. Anyway, that early in the draft, only two of the 32 have signed in the second round. And the thought is that the template that everyone else is going to be asking for is a no from the other owners.
Was so, it both by the Browns or just
no,
one?
No, one of them is a Browns guy. The other guy is, I think it's Scatabo is the other guy. No, sorry, I botched that. I can't remember who the other guy is now, but I had okay. It's not the Browns. One was the Browns, the other is someone else.
Okay, and Scatabu's a fourth.
Yeah, right. That's why I screwed that up.
I just meant first round, like, it's not like it used to be where there's some drama about whether the player will be in by the start of training camp.
Right.
With Cook, though, you'll hear fans speculate on or ask even, so what if he doesn't show up? Like, how does that go over in the room? And even when it's, like, mandatory, this is not yet mandatory, but even when it's that, I tend to feel, in almost all cases, that the players would be sympathetic. They would understand, at least. If not be sympathetic, they would understand. I don't know of a case, a hypothetical case, where I would feel differently than that. Just, like, I think players are bonded in this way. They're all trying to get paid. And Cook has a makeable case, so I would think there'd be, maybe most players would understand it. There probably is a limit to that, though. ultimately, get it worked out. You have a contract to play. We need you. Like, this would be a player where I think maybe patience would run out with him from his teammates. All right, well, we're all here. And I just bring that up because, like, even on the voluntary scale, I would think there'd be, you know, not publicly, even like Mike Vrabel today and these coaches who are talking, McDermott, talking about players who are not present for voluntary workouts, they make sure to point out that it is voluntary. Like, Vrabel today was, he sounded displeased, but he cut a reporter off and he said, it's voluntary, that's what it is, we're going to work with the guys who are here. And you hear that a lot from coaches. That, yeah. That was McDermott with Diggs. I'm interested. I'm here for the guys who are here. So I wonder, like, what players would think about this. Maybe nothing. But they are here. Like, they would rather be on that boat today. All of them. On a boat. If not that boat. They would want to be
not necessarily a drug boat.
Off beats on.
A boat where there's drugs. Whatever. Anyway.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Off. You'd rather be off. You'd rather not have to go in and lift the weights and do the stuff. You know, maybe not everybody. Younger players might think, like, I can't. I'm going to eat this up. There'd be some guys.
Yeah. Some, and even maybe some veterans, too, who are like, you know, this is all part of it, and I love it. I love it. I love the workout. I love the – I know I'm getting better by working, and so let me work, and I'm doing it in an organized fashion with my teammates, even better. It's easier to do. You know, maybe some guys need even that peer pressure. You know, it might be awfully hard. You know, it can be a struggle for anyone to, like, want to get up and do something that you know is going to be, you know, it's not sitting in front of the TV. You know, like, I got to get up and go work. Physical, hard. But, yeah, I wonder. I'll bet guys, they know they're going to take their turns when it comes, whether it's a family thing or whatever it is. Whatever their reason is going to be, they're going to want the same leeway that anyone else gets. That's not in a contract thing necessarily. Just, you know, he's not here for this round, or he missed this day or that day or whatever. Like, that happens. We don't take attendance every day. There's no way to functionally do that. There's no one there today. I mean, you said earlier, I think we would have heard something. Like, the Bills probably themselves would have sent you video evidence if James Cook had decided to show up today. I think we probably would know. But we don't have to.
Or Cook would have.
Or Cook would have. Somebody would have let you know. But we also can't be 100% sure that he was. You know, I we don't know. Again. Not to get
we
hung
would
up
know.
On that.
We would know.
We would know. I know, but still. But
nobody's allowed to report on them today.
Right. So there is some question about
today was it. The good stuff.
I just know when you said it the one time earlier, just in passing, like anyone would, Cook wasn't there again today. I'm like, probably. Almost definitely. But
okay.
Still, anyway. I don't think guys get that bent about this. And I think they do want a guy to get theirs, and so they will be supportive. I think even into training camp, you want to respect that. Like, especially if you are a guy who just got paid, I would think your understanding of the situation, because it could have been you. Linebackers aren't that heavily valued. I mean, Bernard didn't get it. He wasn't looking for $15 million a year and didn't get it. But all the same, you know, you get yours. You want your brothers to get theirs too. I think the breaking point comes when the season is in the window, like it's coming, and has he shown up yet? What kind of shape is he going to be in? Do I trust him? Is he letting us all down now? There's a point where your own self-interest within the team's self-interest becomes sort of one thing, and that guy is the guy that's not, this is not okay anymore. Maybe there's guys that would support him the whole way. I don't know, but if you think his absence, if it comes to that, potentially hinders you from having, you know, being the best version of yourself individually or as a team, again, those can weave in and out all you want, then I think that's where, hey, you know, I hear you, I feel you, I'm supporting you, but, you know, they got you. right? They got you. They've got the leverage. You don't. What are you going to do now? Like, come on in here. We need you. It's $5 million. You'll be a free agent after the year. Knock on something. Hopefully you don't have something devastating happen.
Yeah, like Diggs being older, richer, even on a new team. I can imagine, like, if he and Drake May have a conversation, Drake May be like, oh, how you been, right? Just, what have you been up to? Might even go as far as to say, you know, would have been cool to get some work in with you, like we're trying to get somewhere here. But that'd be pretty gutsy for May to say, but he's the quarterback. Maybe you'd want him to say it. And Diggs would be like, dude, did you see the video?
Right.
You wanted me to come here that day? Did you see it? Did you see the ride? But, you know, that's a challenging one for May. Does he press Diggs?
Absolutely not. No, not in year two. Like if he ascends, like, if this is all happening in Buffalo, and there's been... Do I want to eliminate the friction that led to his being? You know, it's been great. It's been a happy marriage the whole time, right? Diggs is a little emotional. He's mercurial, but he always says the right things about the team and the city and the quarterback, and it's harmonious. And he still caught 100 balls, even at 31 years old, right? We're just going along like nothing had ever changed from peak Diggs Allen years. I think Allen definitely says something to him, like privately. Because we're partners now. We are, you know, I'm counting on you just like you're counting on me, and everyone's counting on us, and what are you doing? Drake May does not have that yet. He may get there, but I don't think he would be right to say something to Diggs, even though he's the quarterback. It's just not, you're not there yet. You haven't earned
that. Is it different, like Allen to Cook is different because they've been together, and it's a running back anyway, and... Like, would Allen generally maybe think, like, he doesn't need to be here? Or does, you know, like, does Allen maybe want to speak up? It's like, dude, I'm getting married. And you couldn't. Cook's different. Well, maybe. I mean, he's different than Diggs. Diggs just signed a super lucky deal for him that was there because one team was so desperate. You know, Cook is trying to get a contract. Terry McLaurin in Washington is another one who's not at voluntary because reportedly he's trying to get an extension. So there's a certain reason. Allen wouldn't have to ask Cook why he's not there.
No.
Because everybody knows why he's not there.
And I don't think he would, but you know, assuming, you know, I don't want to assume what their relationship is, but if they're at all even remotely friendly with one another, right, which you probably would want to assume, but I still wouldn't want to. You just don't know. But assuming that, you know, they exchange texts just like guys, there's a chat group, whatever, you know, maybe there's little, you know, little clicks and there's 20 guys in one and 20 in another and whatever. If he's in a texting relationship with Cook in any way, I would think you check. Hey, man, you know, just want to let you know we miss you. Totally understand, support you. I hope you get your business taken care of, and we see you soon. You know, like that's entirely to me. I don't think you lean on him in any way if you're Allen at this point. You just let him
work it out.
Do what he's got to do. Now, again, I think that does change when it gets to be Labor Day, and if things are still really messed up. Then maybe there becomes a point where that turns from, listen, man, I've been trying to do right by you and say all the right things and support you, but like they've got you and we need you. Like, what are you going to do? God, I don't know. That might even be asking a lot because that is, you know, you're siding with management basically.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Which that is something another player might not appreciate.
Right. So I think you got to be really careful. I think that's why guys, I really honestly believe them when they sort of just, you know, we all understand it's a bit, I think that's the best you can do because otherwise you sound like you are taking the other side and no player really, I think, wants to do that.
Or also a player could say like he deserves the money and then he's alienated his boss.
Right.
Right. He made that tougher. So... That's one you want to stay away from if you can. And I think it's pretty easy to do it. you'd just be boring.
Right.
Allen's good at that. I mean, he knows how to avoid stepping in it when he's talking to reporters. Probably wouldn't see Diggs at the wedding, you thinking?
Oh, I hadn't thought about that at all.
he's occupied.
Yeah, probably.
You know what? You know what, Josh? Look at this right now. So I'm not going to make it. Who knows?
I'll bet he invited him.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Stephon Diggs?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll bet he invited
him. Depends on how big it is. Like I've got people I like, but how there's a cutoff. There's always a cutoff.
Sure. And you are playing a sport where, you know, there's 90 dudes on the roster right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's
how about
a good point.
Only invite guys that didn't show you up publicly numerous times. How about that? Maybe that's what I would want to subscribe to. Who knows? Zach Stevens doesn't know. Our guest from Denver, I think he probably doesn't know, talking about the Broncos and the AFC West. We'll have that conversation for you right after this. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Just for all these young guys, it's new, right? So you're trying to get to know them as people. You're trying to get to know them and their skill set, where they need to improve in terms of their strength, their speed, whatever it is. We kind of do a little bit of a skill assessment or a needs assessment on, hey, where are they more likely to pull early and just from a medical standpoint. So there's a lot that they go through from a filter standpoint or evaluation standpoint when they first arrive. And really, it's trying to integrate them and getting them moving.
That's Bills head coach Sean McDermott mentioning the rookies as they are integrating with the veterans for the first time in OTAs. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Kramer and Jones,
woo,
here with you. It's fitting to bring that one back as Sal was talking to Josh.
I haven't watched Cops, by the way, since we created that open, which is so bad on me. So bad on me.
Oh, what you going to do? but also, OTAs is the first time that we get to see that blend of the rookies and the and the veterans at the same time here. I don't know what else to really worry about necessarily. I think that when it comes down to it, I'm excited for who's going to step up, who is going to end up taking a role that this was an AFC championship team. This was a top four team in the league. Is there going to be a young kid that steps in, takes a role right away? That's a big deal. You look at my biggest job now, though, with OTAs is I have to calm Zach down.
Yeah, you got
to
make sure I don't have my Andy Isabella phase. I joke with Sneaky Joe as we were leaving. I'm like, man, I feel I'm getting close to that, man. I'm getting towards the edge.
Need to tell you, it was day one of OTAs. I do not begrudge your excitement. I do want to help calm you down.
No.
Or do I?
Yeah, no.
Considering that I am all about the drama, apparently.
Nope.
Maybe I just let you do this. Maybe I do let you just go overload on the Elijah Moore love to a point where it does become irrational.
You should. Like, a real friend would let me crash out when, like, we're in week three of training camp, and it's like, yeah, guys, Elijah Moore's not making the team as my sanity slowly slips.
Look, I'll just have the couch ready for you, okay?
Yep.
I'll have the couch ready for you when everything turns into a disaster.
I've now joked the last 2 days. I'm having a really tough time, like, staying rational, and a lot of it is I love the player out of Ole Miss, and I thought he was poorly used in New York and had a really bad situation.
Right.
And when he flashed, you saw all of the talent. And the same was true in Cleveland. And ultimately, even going to his last year in Cleveland, in which, yes, his yards per reception still fell. It fell a full 2 yards. In 2023, he was at 10.8 yards per reception. Last year in 24, he was at 8.8 yards per reception. It's not great. He still had 61 catches, which would have been good for second in terms of Bills wide receivers this past year.
And there is some context to that, of course. Deshaun Watson, before he gets injured, almost notoriously at this point, is not pushing the field.
It can't. Even when he tries to, it's like, oh.
It's not good.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of short passes. And then, I mean, the quarterback room is Jameis Winston and Dorian Thompson Robinson.
Hey, you'd be nice about Winston.
Nope, I don't. Well, ready? No, I shouldn't be nice because Winston is that risk taker and he wasn't.
I rescind my point.
Mr. 30 for 30, 30 and 30 himself.
My point.
Exactly. So it turned into this like weird situation where I do believe you saw it where his average yards per reception went down a whole 2 yards.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That is ghastly work to a receiver's production. And if you still could get decent numbers, though, with that quarterback room in that situation in that season with Cleveland, you should be excited a little bit.
It warranted 102 targets.
His moves warranted 102 targets. And considering the uncatchable ball percentages from Watson,
yes,
or Winston or DTR, that means at least he's getting open enough.
Mm-hmm.
And they just cannot get it to him.
I want to see in terms of targets where they would rank on the Bills for everybody. And oh boy.
Oh boy.
In terms of targets.
Yes.
They would put him at 1.
That makes sense.
Khalil Shakir had 100 targets. Now that is much more the Bills' offense. Elijah Moore himself has spoken on it. He's really into the idea of everyone eats. So I don't expect him to have 102 targets with the Bills, even if he hits. Don't get me wrong. I look at the
player. But let's add some nuance to that. Mm-hmm. Ready? First half of the season, he's got Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
Jerry Judy's on this roster, is he not?
I believe so, yeah.
He still gets 102 targets?
And there's also like during the period where Jerry Jeudy pops off. Remember when Winston comes in, Jeudy all of a sudden is like, oh wait, like that's the guy we all saw out of
the quarterback
Alabama.
Could actually get me a little bit of the ball down the field.
Yeah, he had 90 catches, just over 1,200 yards and 4 touchdowns last year.
Tell me that production then, with that nuance, it's a big deal. All of a sudden, you are looking at a player that could also find you ways to move the football. And he's still getting targeted a lot in a season where Jeudy pops off, in a season where it starts out as the depth chart is Cooper, Jeudy.
Mm-hmm. And even
that's not a mistake.
Yeah, to start the year, week 1, 6 targets, week 2, 8 targets, then it dips, 3, 1, 4, 1, goes back up, week 7, 6, week 8, 12, 9, 8, 5, week 12, 14, 4, 6, 5, 5, 5.
That's not a mistake. Watson goes down, and his targets go back up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's the start of the season, and then Watson starts playing terribly, and then he gets hurt.
Yep.
That's not a mistake. Zach, pop off.
But ultimately, I think it's right. It's still a 1-year deal. He still hasn't had that amazing season that I think many of us expected him to be or have coming out of Ole Miss. So I do want to temper my expectations a lot. I just look at him. I think the Bills were in on him early. I don't know how much Moore really wanted to sign with a team early. I think he wanted to wait. I think he's much happier to bet on himself. He said as much with Sal Capaccio yesterday, talking about betting on himself, being honest about circumstances and situations, being a lot of luck, and you needing a good situation to succeed in the NFL. Some guys don't, but the vast majority, we talk all the time about it with quarterbacks, all the time, that your landing spot is maybe the most important thing. Josh Allen on the Cleveland Browns is not Josh Allen on the Bills. Josh Allen on the Jets is not even close to Josh Allen on the Bills. But Josh Allen on the Bills is inarguably one of the top 4 quarterbacks in the NFL now, a walk-in Hall of Famer today based on what his career has been.
And it does have something to do with the fact that, like, even the Bills, like, he goes down with injury and then it starts to wake up a little bit for him after he has to sit for a couple of weeks.
But honestly, looking at the 2 teams that Elijah Moore's been on, also could have been 2 teams Josh Allen winds up, the Jets or the Browns. What is Josh Allen's career? I'm talking about him being an NFL Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. He's already won an MVP. He's got multiple All-Pros, multiple Pro Bowls. He's set record books on fire. Is he a complete and total bust on the Jets or Browns?
Probably.
Probably.
Considering that it's the Jets and what they do with Sam Darnold, seeing ghosts, and the next thing you know, Kevin O'Connell gets him and molds him into the Sam Darnold we all were projecting him to be.
Exactly. So when I look at Moore.
And then there's Cleveland, who
They did do the right things with Baker Mayfield. But by the time Elijah Moore shows up, they've gotten rid of him.
They moved off of Baker Mayfield when he won a playoff game in Pittsburgh for the Browns. That is almost inexcusable. To be perfectly honest, knowing who the modern Browns are,
it's not even that.
Insanity.
It's that they punished Mayfield for trying to play through a shoulder injury.
When in reality, he should have had infinite goodwill with them for that and winning a playoff game for them. He had resurrected that franchise, and they're like, actually, well, Deshaun Watson is available. Don't ask why, but he's available.
Don't ask why. And we did, actually.
That's insane to me. But so I look at Elijah Moore, and I loved – there was a clip from him yesterday when he was sitting with Sal talking about that he hasn't had that perfect situation. He is betting on himself. He does work really hard in season, out of season. But this is also a job. And he was in two really bad companies with bosses that sucked. I think most of us can.
Who hasn't lived that?
Yeah, I think most of us can acknowledge that and sympathize with that. Where, like, you're like, yeah, I show up on Monday and Tuesday and I'm pissed off. And I don't really want to be here. I'm going to clock in. I'm going to clock out when I'm supposed to. I'm going to do the bare minimum or a little bit better. And I'm going to get out of here.
Yeah.
He requested a trade year two. He knew what was going on with the Jets. And while some NFL fans and some NFL franchises won't like that, I respect a guy that took his career in his own hands and saw as a receiver maybe the position most dependent on another position. He went, this ain't working. Get me out. This is not working, and my career will suffer. To the point now, at 25 years old, he's signing a one-year deal for what, $5 million?
Yep. It is becoming a chance for him to really shine.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you are excited in particular because you were a fan of the player when he came out in the draft. It is still day one of OTAs.
It is. So I'm not really reacting to OTAs. I'm more reacting to what did you see from Moore, which, you know.
Not see from Moore necessarily. Like, also, the mindset does have more to say right now than what you see on the field. Yeah, the fact that he's catching passes from Allen is nice. That means he's part of that rotation.
And that's what I mean. What am I seeing? He's not catching passes from Mike White or Shane Buechel. Now, ultimately, he would have if Allen doesn't show up. But Allen was there, and he's catching passes from him. And every reporter that was there was like, hey, he looked smooth. Matt Parrino wrote in his piece, it looked like he had been in the Bills offense for years.
And that's where mindset comes in. How quickly are you able to pick up the playbook? How quickly are you able to get comfortable within the offense? That was actually the struggle with Amari Cooper, was he really could not find that chemistry as an in-season addition, and it is a tougher thing.
Yep.
That was why I was perfectly fine with the idea of maybe if they were to bring back Cooper, I wouldn't be against it, because now he has an offseason to actually feel comfortable. This is something that Moore does get to do, though. He gets the offseason to work with everyone and feel like he's a part of this offense because he's there from the beginning now.
And so, though, like you said, it's first day of OTAs. If that's already what I'm hearing, is that the chemistry might be there, or if not completely there, he looks like he's been in this offense for years. I don't care that it's day one of OTAs. If anything, that's a bigger positive to me of, oh, and he was a late free agent addition.
He was a late addition.
This is not a guy that was added to the team in March.
And you know what that screams to me? Leonard Floyd. Floyd was added even later.
That's right, he was.
But a late addition that has the opportunity to be an impact on your roster is still a great thing to have. Mm-hmm. You made a face.
Oh, no, nothing, okay. Nothing. Don't worry.
Well, we won't worry about that, but we will take ourselves some time out here, finish this up, and then be ready to kick you over to Sabres Live at the top of the hour. Here on the North Dakota Automotive Extra Point Show, it's Kramer and Jones on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.